You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Good evening, Valley. Glad you guys are able to join us tonight, either in person or online. We always want to make sure to give a shout out to the online crowd because you guys are awesome too. Especially because I think my parents watch. But anyways, no, it's always awesome. But in case you do not know who I am, my name is Sean. I am blessed to be the kids, youth, and young adult pastor here at Valley. We have some epic youth in here. Any youth in the house? There we go. All right. Awesome. See it. Awesome. You're like, it's 2020. I identify as youth, so you could have screamed too, but that's not a good joke. I'm sorry. But it's an honor and a blessing to be here. Wednesdays are always kind of my favorite because we really take a book of the Bible and we just break it down chapter by chapter. And we've had an amazing series going through the book of Exodus. And so I get to continue off, excited to continue off tonight with chapter 20. And as you turn there in your Bibles or devices, I'm going to keep with the Wednesday tradition with a joke. An Amish girl and her mother were visiting a mall. They were amazed by almost everything that they saw, but especially two shiny silver walls that could move apart and back together again. The girl asked, "Mother, what is this?" The mother, never having seen an elevator, responded, "I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." While the girl and her mother watched with amazement, an old man in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened and the man rolled between them into a small room. The walls closed and the girl and her mother watched the small numbers above the walls light up sequentially. They continued to watch until the last number was reached, and they watched some more as the numbers began to light in reverse order. The walls opened up again and a hunky young man stepped out. The mother, not taking her eyes off the young man, said quietly to her daughter, "Go get your father." That's it. There you go. All right. Better than last week's? All right. Good, sir. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right into the word. Father, thank you so much. Father, I'm currently in a season of things. It's just, there's so many little things daily that we just sometimes take for granted. And man, I read this story that we're about to get into with Exodus 20 and these Egyptians, and they don't have the Bible at this time. They don't have, you know, different translations sitting on their shelves like we do at home. They don't have it on their device in their pocket that they can have it. And even if they don't have it right then, they can always just a Google search away. God, we're so thankful and so grateful that we have your word. So, Lord, we just pray tonight, Father, that's what we're able to just receive is your word, your wisdom, just what you're speaking through this, God. Lord, prepare us to receive what you need to just download into us tonight, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at chapter 20, we may immediately realize, if you have a little heading there, it probably talks about the Ten Commandments. And if you're anything like I was when I was a child, I was not raised in the church, and so I didn't really know a lot of things, but for some reason I knew the Ten Commandments, right? And I hated this chapter. I hated the Ten Commandments, okay? I was a kid, I hated it because, you know, maybe you're like me, and maybe it could have been because maybe you just don't like rules. I was a little rebellious. Still, I'm a little rebellious, actually, but God's working on me. The thing is that maybe it's just a list of rules, and it's like, man, I don't like rules. I just don't like rules. You know, there's always that time whenever we go to camp or whenever we're getting ready to do something with the youth at a big outreach or any event, RIP due to Corona. But as we're out doing these things, you know, we always start off and go, all right, guys, listen up real quick. We're going to go over the rules real fast. Right? Let's just get it out of the way. It's never fun. The kids never like, yes, we know, no purple and things like that. But it's just never fun. Or maybe you look at these commandments, and maybe you can look at it like I do sometimes, and it kind of just reminds myself of how bad I fell. I start to read these commandments, and it's more like a checklist than it is an actual, you know, it's just checking off the ones that I've done. I'm just like getting into guilt and into shame. And so when I was studying this and really looking at the Ten Commandments, the Lord told me flat out, he goes, if you feel that way, then you've been looking at these all wrong. And so my goal tonight, what the Lord has really prompted me tonight to do with you is if you feel like this is just a list of rules, if the Ten Commandments is literally just the do's and the don'ts of the Bible, then hopefully tonight we can change your perspective completely of it. All right, and that's kind of the goal tonight. So if you're watching online or here in person, I'd love to hear, like, yes, change my perspective, or like, no, don't ever try to talk about the Ten Commandments again, okay? So let's jump right into it as we talk about verse 1. It says, then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Okay, if you can leave that out for a split second. Couple things with this first two verses already. Kind of reminds me a little bit of last week. We talked a lot about last week how they were kind of reflecting on what God just did, right? It was a lot of like God just did these things, and it talks about the need of a savior. It talks about how we could not get into the presence of God because we were too sinful and we were just too human. And so therefore, if we even touched the mountain, we would have died, right? This was a little bit of last week, kind of a recap. But now we're jumping into it, and he's already kind of talking about something. He's talking about, look what I did. And this is amazing to look at because it reminds us even more, kicking right off, continuing this process, that like, we need God. And it brings us right to our first point, okay? And this is a very important point that you need, is freedom comes first. Freedom comes first. So before we ever look at the Ten Commandments, before we look at what comes with that, we have to look at freedom. We have to look at freedom. Because freedom or grace always comes first. Right? And this is important. Because had they still been in slavery, I don't think God would have been sitting there talking about like, hey guys, I want to give you these Ten Commandments. And they would have been like, what are you talking about? Why are you trying to do that? Like, we have our masters and we have to do what we have to do. And so it was the fact that freedom came first. This is important for a couple reasons. One of the biggest reasons this is important is because this is freeing for some people. Because God did not say, hey, my chosen people, right? He says, the Lord, your God. It was very personal. This was their God, right? He didn't look at them and say, my chosen people, my royal priesthood, my royal nation here. If you act right in slavery, then I will free you. Because I think sometimes we get that way. We go, all right, I'm not acting right with God. I'm not obeying the commandments. We kind of start reversing this on God. We go, you know, I'm not there yet, God. And so therefore, I'm not even going to look at the rest of this. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to get into the words. I'm not going to look at the commandments because I already know that I am not good enough. However, God freed him first before he ever gave him any commandments. Freedom comes first. This is a very huge point because I think also a lot of times when Christians go out and start to talk to people about Jesus, okay, a lot of times the people start to try to put the emphasis on, hey, get right and then come to church. Or, hey, you know what? Get right and Jesus is going to move in your life. Usually the most freeing thing and the thing that broke my heart for Jesus was the fact that Jesus was getting me freed from Egypt, getting me freed from my addictions, getting me freed from these things before I got right. He was the reason I got right. If it wasn't for Jesus to begin with, I never would have had freedom. And so freedom comes first, okay? So now, before the law is ever introduced, God's grace comes in first. Now, I love a scripture here in John, and it's looked over a lot. It's used in the context. A lot of people use this scripture specifically like, hey, do the right thing, right? And it is basically saying that. But there's a part of it that's interesting. It's John 14:15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love came first. Love came first. How do you ever expect anyone to keep commandments if there's no love in the relationship? Some of us, maybe myself included at times, needs to go back and work on that love relationship before I start looking at how I'm messing up and keeping the commandments. Right? The love came first. The freedom comes first before we ever enter that. It starts with love. Now, as we get closer to this, I want to talk about something else, right? We're kind of looking back at the story before we jump into the law, before we jump into the restrictions, before we jump into the commandments, before we jump into freedom, which technically is what it is. But before we jump into that, we're still looking along. So you have God freeing them, and then he takes them into the wilderness. His chosen people takes them into the wilderness. He starts taking them through these areas. Now, what's hard to understand for me personally is that they didn't wander aimless through the desert. They were guided, right? So God pulled them out of slavery, pulled them and freed them, and then took them through wilderness. Why? Because wilderness was preparation, which brings us to our second point, which is preparation comes second. So freedom comes first. Preparation comes second. Why? Because they still have some Egypt in them. They still have some Egypt in them. And if they don't go through this preparation, through this wilderness, then that Egypt is not going to get worked out of them. And then when they come over into the promised land, they're just going to bring Egypt with them into the promised land. And then they're never going to be able to fully encounter what it is. In fact, technically, if you really want to get technical into it, there's a lot of people who couldn't let go of certain things of Egypt, and so therefore they got banned from the promised land, and they had to die before they can even get in. And so this is just interesting that freedom comes first, preparation comes second. Why is the preparation so important? He had to take them from being dependent on their masters because they were slaves. So he had to take them from being dependent of their masters and focused on whatever their masters is carrying them to. And he had to take them to a point where they were dependent upon him. He took them from slaves to be followers of his. Why are they followers of his? Not because they were doing the right thing, but they were following him literally. They're following his guidance all through the desert. There was a cloud in the day. There was a pillar of fire at night. They were literally they were following him constantly. And when it came time for them to be hungry, he provided. When it came time for them to be thirsty, he provided. When they came up to an area and they're like, we don't know what to do, he provided. See, he had to switch them from being dependent upon Egypt to being dependent upon God. The preparation came second. This is important because God is infinitely better at being the God of your life than you are. I underlined it, so I tell myself to repeat it twice. God is infinitely better at being the God of your life than you are. We need to stop looking at what is it in my life? Where am I supposed to be going? How am I supposed to do this? Like, just literally get dependent upon God. Could you imagine if everything in this, like coronavirus took out everything? We'll just say that, okay? We're almost looking post-apocalyptic world. And the only thing we had was what God gave us in the morning to eat and then God guiding us through a cloud. Would you be content? Because this is really what a relationship with God should be. It is so hard to look at being this, like, wait, you mean to tell me, like, just leaning on God? Like, this is literally what we need. This is what we need. Why? Because God is infinitely better at being the God of your life than you are. I put than I am, and it just didn't sound as good, by the way. So that's why it says you are. I'm not pointing fingers. Unless you feel like I am, then of course I am. But they had to get a place to receive from the Lord. Preparation, part of the wilderness is getting you to a place to even receive. Like, going out and doing street ministry. Let's talk about that for a second. If I went out to the street and I just ran into someone who's just broken and having, their world is just falling apart. And I just took the time to stand there and love on them, which is probably how a lot of you came to this church. It's because someone did that. But if I took the time to just sit there and love on them, and explain what the gospel is to them. Not overcomplicate it, just simply tell them what it is. And they're like, I want that. And they receive freedom. How many of those people do you think would ever walk in the doors of a church before any of that ever happened? Right? It's one of those things where we sometimes forget that it is literally the people who are out in the wilderness currently going through so much different things. Like we forget that's part of what we need to do is we need to go to them, talk to them. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by God, right? And we need to be there because the truth is we're like waiting for the church to fix everybody. And it's not even the truth. That's not even what it should be. All right, and I don't know why, like, God's kind of taking me somewhere else for a split second, so please hang on. But just think about that. Like, do you realize that the church, like, part of coronavirus, part of this breakdown, part of having to close doors and things like that is part of the fact that the church is never going to fix you. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And unless you're getting in tune with the Holy Spirit, it's never going to happen. All right? It's hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear. It's just... hearing that the doors of the church closing has affected so much of our walk, it's truthful, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, please, because it affected me too. But really, all it did was kind of point a magnifying glass to something that was already wrong. Just because the doors are closed, like being able to worship where you're at, being able to, like, man, it's like, look at what they had and where they were at. Okay, sorry, totally got me off of there. But part of the preparation in the wilderness was them going from, they had to go from a place to say, God, you brought us here to die, to say, Lord, you're our great provider. I don't know if you've ever felt that. I know I have in my life. There's been a time where I'm like, Lord, literally, you saved me. You kicked me through all of this. Like, I'm so excited, and you brought me here to die. You brought me here just to, like seriously, like, I brought me here for utter failure. Like, Lord, is this a game to you? Is this funny? Do you think this is what it is? And through that time, it started working on me from the time of being like, Lord, you brought me here to die, to say, Lord, whatever comes next, I know is good because you're bringing it. And that's what he was doing in this. In fact, I love how everything that is good is from God. And what do I mean by that? There's some things that look good, seems good, but then ends up somehow, some way leading you down a dark path. And so obviously I'm not saying that that's from God. I'm saying that anything that truly leads to God and life and that is truly good is from God. And so if that is the case, now think of the Israelites. They had those masters who hated them, did not treat them well. Now they're coming into this place where of this God that they don't understand, this God they don't know. They're coming into, and God's trying to take them from being Moses' God to being their God. And in this preparation time, he's trying to weed them out and trying to weed out this feeling of Egypt. I want to read a scripture real quick. James 1:14 through 16. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. What is happening? God is trying to get them away from their own desires. We're thirsty, Moses. We're hungry. We're this. It's like, no, get away from your own desires. Here, I'm going to provide. I'm going to do this, right? Trying to get them out of their own desires. Because their desires leads to sin. Their desires leads to a path that is not good for them. Now, for the sake of time, I want to paraphrase this because this reminds me a lot of this whole what we're going through. Let me paraphrase it for a second to a story out of the Bible. There's a woman who was caught in adultery, caught red-handed. There's a whole other sermon there why those guys were there, but we ain't going to touch that. Caught red-handed in this adultery. And so they're taking her out to stone her where it's just and ready to go. They're going to stone her and kill her, right? Think of this. Think of that. Just anyone out in the world who is literally facing something that they put themselves into. Because a lot of times I know my mess ups put me into places and then I'm praying for God to get me out. And God's like, well, why'd you go there to begin with? But she's there in this moment. And then there are all these guys getting ready to stone her. And they look at Jesus and they go, hey, yeah. This is what it should happen, right? This is what should happen. And Jesus starts drawing some stuff on the ground. Theologians everywhere have debated what was drawn. Nobody knows what was drawn, so don't let anyone tell you they know what was drawn, okay? But he starts drawing something on the ground. And then one by one, they start leaving. The older guys first. I think they were smarter. They start leaving. And so in this moment, Jesus then asks her a question. He says, where are those who are persecuting you? And she says, none, my Lord. So you see this in a frame. What happened first? Freedom. Did he say, hey, your life, you messed up, your consequences, deal with it? Or did God look at her? Did Jesus look at her and go, no? He started doing things that created what? Freedom. Freedom came first, right? Then he started to keep going. He kept going. He was still doing his thing, right? Then he asked her a question to see if she was in the right place, if she was prepared. And she replied with, Lord. She replied with Lord, meaning that she was prepared to receive what he was about to do. And then he said, go and sin no more. And I think a lot of times I always hear this, man. I'm a part of a bunch of Facebook groups, which I just need to delete, by the way. But I'm a part of a bunch of Facebook groups. And there's one of the groups that they're talking on there about grace and all this thing. And next thing I know, I looked at it, and there's like 300 comments later. And of course, I don't know why, but I like to read the comments. I should never do that. And people are talking about, no, you need to kick them out of your church. You need to kick them out. They can't come in there if they're sinning. They can't come in there. You need to kick them out. Why? Because he said, go and sin no more. How dare they show up to church as sinners? I was like, and of course, my reply was like, man, dude, I'd love to go to your church because apparently only perfect people go there. That's amazing to hear. I would ruin it as soon as I stepped in the building because I'm far from perfect. But the thing is we use that for this a lot. However, do we ever look at that? He freed her first. He freed her first. She called him Lord, and then he said, go and sin no more. This is important because now we haven't gone to the Ten Commandments, and there's a reason for this. Brings us to our third point. Obedience comes third. All of that to say is freedom comes first, preparation comes second, the wilderness came second, then he calls them to obedience. And obedience is not something that's a hard word to swallow sometimes. Like if I just said, hey, obey, you guys would be like, what the heck did you just tell me to do? Right? But obedience is literally, what he's saying is, look, you're now prepared and ready for the law. Think about that. He's not saying, hey, I'm calling you to do this because you're just a horrible human being. Right? No, what is he saying? He's saying, look, I've freed you, I've prepared you, and now I'm calling you to obey. This is a beautiful part of it. This is like, hey, look, you've graduated through the wilderness to a point where I'm gonna put this law into place, and I'm calling you to now start to lead people through this law. And what's amazing is this law still today is like prevalent in the Jewish culture. Like, they still hold on to this. This is how much of a profound impact it has had. Like, this is really, like, look back and all through the New Testament when they're constantly arguing with Jesus. They're like, hey, but the law says, right? And what we're going to hear about through all this and further on even more and then Leviticus and all those things. But it's just like, but the law says. And they're always, arguing against Jesus because of it. The thing that they don't understand and the thing that separates Christianity from that is freedom comes first. Preparation comes second. Obedience comes third. Now, after this place of knowing that obedience is meant for life, obedience is meant for love, obedience is meant for things that is good, then we can read the Ten Commandments. Only after then, because freedom, preparation, then obedience, now we can read the Ten Commandments. So let's go ahead and start reading them in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me, okay? They're practicing a lot of gods, and they're making them gods, okay? And then a lot of people get these confused, but that is gods. It is literally saying that you are the god of the sky, you are the god of the air, you're the god of fertility, you're the god of lost things, so you have this, right? Then you have the second one. Keep going, Aaron. Let's go. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Okay, what are idols? What's the difference? I wrote a little thing down. It says, anything with higher priority than God in your life. Your phone, social media, games, sports, career, your dates, your spouses, your kids, your looks, and even church. Anything that you put a higher priority than God is an idol. And this is not a spanking. This is like God's prepared us. We're getting to this point. We're ready for the law. Why? Because obedience to the law brings growth. Right? And so then it says here, it says, or any likeness of what is in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the water under the earth, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and the fourth generations to those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Obedience is a beautiful thing. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is made... Sorry, I got lied. It's a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant. Guys, what is it saying, guys? Take a day and rest in God, right? We know that everything that God wants from us is good. He had to take the Israelites from a place that God is punishing them to a place to say, no, I'm leading you to something good. And these commandments are good. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring us to life and away from death. Okay? Now, let's continue on. Let's see here. Honor your father and your mother. There we go. Yes, sorry. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Mom, you know, moms, if you ever say, like, you see, honor me, otherwise I get to shorten your lifespan. That's not what it's saying. Because right after that, the next commandment is, you shall not murder. Then the next one says, you shall not commit adultery. Or I love in the New Testament, it says that if you even lust at a girl with your eyes, you've already committed adultery in your heart. I also believe that this is talking about what you can rob your future spouse of. So if you're single and you're doing things you shouldn't be, this is what it's talking about. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It says you shall not covet your neighbor's stuff, his house, his wife. You can't go to your wife and go, well, John's wife, she does a lot more than you do around the house. You can't do that, okay? This is all for your well-being. If you don't understand that that's for your well-being, that is for your well-being, okay? What is this talking about? Obviously, these are all here. These are good standards. These are, for the first time, the slaves who are never self-governed finally have just moral standards. The commandments here is not just some list of do's and don'ts. He's saying, look, I want to go deeper with you. But where I want to take you is going to take a little more growth and a little more obedience out of you. And so now I'm going to give some things into your life, and I'm going to call you to a little more obedience. I got saved when I was 19. One of the first things God told me to do was like, hey, you need to watch your mouth. He's like, your mouth is pretty foul. You need to watch your mouth. I started working on that. Then when I turned 21, I had a glass of wine, and I felt like the Lord told me, you need to stop drinking. So then I worked on being obedient to that. Didn't want to, but I worked on it. And then the Lord said, hey, now it's time for you to start being obedient to other things. I'm a gamer. Any of you guys know me? I like the video game, right? He actually told me, like, give up gaming. And I gave it up. I literally took my stinking, all my stuff, went and sold it, and I gave up gaming. I was obedient for that season. I was obedient to what he's calling me to. Because every single time he called me to obedience, it was to grow me for something greater. Which brings us to our fourth point. Repeat. Repeat. It's like, okay, God freed me from this sin. God freed me from this addiction. God freed me from Egypt. God freed me from these things. And then he prepared me for something else. And then he's calling me to obedience because he wants more of my life. And when I go and I do that, a lot of times we just stop there. And we're like, okay, I'm good. But the truth is God goes, no. There's something more that I want to free you from. There's something more I want to prepare you for, and there's even more I'm calling you to. And this is a cycle. It's a continuous thing. This is not something that you just stop on. In fact, I believe, and honestly, a lot of times I know that for a season, I went to freedom. I enjoyed the freedom. I felt like I was being prepared for something. And then I heard the word obedience, and I ran the other way because I'm a rebel at heart. I ran the other way. And I feel like a lot of Christians run from obedience because they see it as this law. They see it as FOMO. Like I'm going to miss something greater. I'm going to miss out on something good. It's like, no, all of that is meant to death. That is why God has said, no, I am calling you to life and something better. And then when you're obedient in that, he repeats the process again. And he frees you from something even more. If you feel like, man, my life is good, like, honestly, like, dude, I don't need to be freed from anything else. Like, I don't need to be prepared for anything. Like, honestly, my life is straight A perfect. Raise your hand for me. Yeah, there's a few hands. So guess what that means? It means the rest of us, if we don't feel like we have our life perfect, then guess what? We're normal. That means we can actually come together with other people and go, hey, there's some more things that I need freedom from. There's some more things that I need to be prepared for. And I know for a fact that God's called me to be obedient in more things. I need some help. Will you help hold me accountable? There's a scary word. The other thing I want to tell you that the Lord was telling me is tithing. Saved it to the end, I know. I didn't want to tithe. I was not making very much. Like, I was making okay money in the medical field early on, just entry level for the most part. And I didn't want to tithe. I was like, I don't even have enough money. I'm like the sole provider for my family. Like, there's no way I can tithe and still be able to survive. And the Lord told me, he said, do you trust me? Then be obedient. So I tithed. And I started tithing. Next thing you know, I had six figures in two different bank accounts and was making great money, got all these promotions, and the thing was, is it didn't always stay that way. I lost the house, had it taken from me, I had a lot of other things I went through, so I ended up living in a garage, but I was like, no, I'm going to be obedient, and it grew something out of me. By being obedient to tithing, it grew something completely different in my life. It grew me to another areas. Because once I'm obedient in one area, guess what? Now I get to start the set of freedom in another area in my life. So then he freed me from porn. And then he was able to walk me. And then he said, you're going to be obedient? I was obedient in that. Then he grew me into another area. And he goes, okay, now what are we going to free you from? He's like, now I'm going to free you from, like, pride. And then he started working on that. Then these are not easy things to overcome, guys. I'm not just saying like, hey, guys, it's just, you know, boom, freedom happened. No, it's like God started working it. But it wasn't until I was obedient in one step did he start the freedom in the next. I know obedience and the Ten Commandments is a hard thing to swallow. At least if you're anything like me, a rebel at heart, then that's hard to swallow. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, but that was thousands of years ago. Does it even really still apply? I mean, then there's grace and Jesus comes in and the gospels are good news and it makes me feel better. Your message doesn't make me feel better, but the gospels make me feel better. However, you will never grow until you're obedient. And then one thing led to another. God called me to serve in a ministry. Just volunteer and serve in a ministry. Didn't want to. I was like, I don't like teenagers. Teenagers, I literally would say, teenagers are what's wrong with the world. I literally would say that. And then God said, no, I want you to go and serve in a junior high ministry. 2005, I think it was. And I served in and I found a calling on my life that I never knew would be there. And I was obedient to it. He put love in my heart I didn't even know was there. Then he called me to full-time ministry, and I was obedient to that. Everyone told me, you're making the stupidest mistake of your life. You're taking your kids to Las Vegas. You're ruining their future. And I was obedient, and I stepped out, and I was like, no. It was like, really? You're taking that much of a pay cut? I'm like, I know. It's worth it because God has called me to obey. And I'll tell you right now, has it been all fine and hunky-dory since I come to Las Vegas? No, it has not. Have I seen struggles? Absolutely. But that's not why he calls us. He calls us to be obedient. And when we do it, he then grows us and gets us freedom in new areas and continues to go. If you want to grow into everything that you know God has called you to be, obey. Be obedient and then start over. One of the greatest minds to ever grace this earth is Albert Einstein. And he said, the more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. I think he knows more than I do. So I encourage you guys, like, never stop. Never stop. I feel like it's like almost there. Me and my wife will have these conversations every now and again. And it's like, where do you think we'd be if I didn't stop? Like, if I didn't quit or I didn't just get down on myself? Or like, where do you think we would be? Like, or how many of you have been talking to someone and they're like so close, they're just so close, they're just right there, and they quit or they just stopped and they stopped moving forward, and then they spiraled into a completely different area of life, and you're just like, you were so close if you would just never stop. And so I just encourage you, don't ever stop. The repeat is probably the most important step. This is what stops us from being stagnant and not growing, is we have to repeat this. We go, God, what's the new freedom? God, where's the new area of preparation? Which, no offense, preparation is wilderness. It's not comfortable. Then what area do you want me to be obedient in now? God told me to go golfing. I'm being obedient, guys. I'm just being obedient to what he said, okay? It's a new area, okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you that, man, it just seems so hard sometimes, the word obey. It just, especially in this time where we're having people try to tell us that you got to obey this, you got to obey that, and you're just hearing everyone just say the word obey, and it's just, it's like you don't even know what to think anymore. It's like everybody's trying to be this authority figure in your life. And God, it's just such a hard word. And God, it's a struggle for me personally because I'm rebellious. People tell me I can't do something. I want to tell them, watch me. You can't go through that door. I'm going to say, yes, I can. But God, that's not what you're calling us to you. You're saying, I want more of you. I want more of your life. I want more of your heart. I want more of what you're giving me. Like, yes, you're giving me some, but I want more. God, you're wanting more of our lives. And it's amazing because, yes, you give us freedom. And yes, you give us preparation. And then you call us to be obedient in areas of our life. But you're saying, no, I've got even more for you now. Lord, for some of us who need to start back at step one, we need to go back and go, what's the new freedom I need to give up? What's the new thing I need to be freed of in my life? Even if it's something the world says is okay, but God, you're leading me personally in my convictions to say, I don't need to do this anymore. Something I don't need to watch. Something I don't need to smoke. Maybe it's just something that's maybe it's not even like a gray area in the Bible. Maybe it's like me where God said, no, it's not about just drinking a little bit. It's like, I don't want you drinking anything anymore. And then you prepare us, and then you call us, and that obedience, which is the hardest step, but it's what calls us to be grown more than anything else. Father, the commandments are there because they were meant to not lead them to death and destruction, but instead to bring them to life, to bring them to love, and to bring them to goodness. And so, God, if we truly believe that you're a God of goodness, and even if that word doesn't seem like what you're doing all the time, but if we believe you're truly a God of goodness, then whatever comes next, whatever you've called us to next, Lord, no matter the struggle, we know that you're with us, and you will not lead us to failure, but you'll lead us to growth and to new things and to more freedom, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Love you guys. Have a good night.